Hi, this is Kate Stillman with YogaHealer.com, and I'm so excited to have the Healthier Hormones call finally coming into the realm of space and time. So welcome, Dr. Claudia Welch, and I just want to give everyone a little bit of an introduction before I let you speak. I first ran into your work years and years ago reading Banyan Botanicals articles, and I quickly came to appreciate your words of wisdom. And then from teaching my Living Ayurveda course, when I was looking for guest speakers to really meet the needs of my students for the online course, I thought, oh, it'd be really great to bring you into the conversation live. And from that first live call, I realized that our audience really have a great place to merge and a lot in common. And so in a way, this call is a way to make that start to happen more as a reality. And for those who don't know me, I teach Living Ayurveda courses online and detox courses online, and more or less I'm teaching Ayurveda on the internet. And I wanted to do this course on women's health and hormones. People in my community kept asking me for it, and I realized that, you know, I'm really not qualified. There's really a lot more expertise out there than I have. And when I ran in to you, Dr. Claudia, on that call that we did for the Living Ayurveda course, and I realized that you are that person, and that you really have so much experience, having a Doctor of Oriental Medicine degree as well as an Ayurvedic medicine degree, and being on faculty at the Ayurvedic Institute for most of the last decade, and that I couldn't get over that you're privately tutored with Dr. Robert Svoboda, who I've always known as someone who chooses his students very selectively. And I just thought, wow, what an opportunity for us to bring this information, more online. So I also want to mention that Dr. Claudia Welch's website is drclaudiawelch.com. And there you can find the book that she recently published, Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Life: Achieving Optimal Health and Wellness Through Ayurveda, Chinese Medicine, and Western Science. And this really is what brings us to the call today, this whole idea of being woman now and what are the current health problems. And one of the things that I see is that it's presented in such a disparate way, like the way we get information about our various hormonal issues seems really disconnected. And when I picked up your book, it was great because in the first chapter, you clearly really do an amazing job of connecting the dots and creating more of a whole picture of what's happening in our bodies in the various stages of life. So welcome, Dr. Claudia.
Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. And just to let everybody know, it's just been such a joy to work with Kate. This is the first endeavor we're embarking on, and it's as easy as falling off a log, but an awful lot more fun.
Great. So we did a survey to, we had so many women sign up for the call. We had actually close to 600 women sign up for this free call. And so what we did is we threw a survey out to you asking what is like your one big question. And we also got some information about who you are. And one of the things that we discovered is well over half of you are working with other women in women's health issues, and whether that's as a yoga teacher, as an allopathic doctor, as a more Eastern medicine doctor or practitioner. And over half of you are yoga teachers, and I would imagine that half of the other half are yoga students. And so it's really interesting to get a sense of who you are and what your questions are. Dr. Claudia, do you want to mention some of the questions that you saw in the survey?
Yeah. Well, first of all, welcome, everybody. It's such an honor to be here and such an honor to have you spend your time in this manner. And a special nod to the West Coast people who I know had to get up early this morning. It's hard to find a time that works for everybody, sort of before work, after work, mom, working mom, professional person. So did the best we could on the time thing. And I know it's a little rough for you West Coasters. Anyway, so yeah, we put out this question. If there was one question you'd like answered, what would it be? And, I want to tell you that, as of Saturday night, today is Monday morning, and as of Saturday night, I had read all of them. So if you wrote in by Saturday night, I've read them, which is about to say about 100 of them, that I read. And I read through the whole question. And And so I want to, and I compiled a little list of your concerns. And, when I say little, I mean big. It's long. And when you listen to this and think we've only got an hour, how is this all going to get covered? There are a few themes that tie all of these things together, or many of these things. I don't read this list to be overwhelming. I read it to just let you know that we've heard you, and also to let us know, to start to explore the fact that many of these things have common causes, even though they have different manifestations. So you want to know, how do you keep balanced in perimenopause, in the perimenopausal time of your life? What about the menopausal time of your life? How do you stay balanced postmenopausally? How do you increase your cervical mucus if you want to get fertile? How do you increase fertility in general? What to do about infertility? What to do about thyroid, hypo or hyper issues? What to do about adrenals, and is there hope that they might come back? They're tired. Fibroid issues. What do you do with fibroids, uterine fibroids? What do you do with endometriosis? Is there hope for sleep issues? How do you increase your energy even when you're doing all the right stuff? What about adult acne? How do your hormones and hormone balance contribute to autoimmune disease, including Sjogren's? How do you stay healthy without synthetic hormones? Why are you irritable at the end of your cycle? Why are you irritable during your cycle? What about just before your cycle? How do you stay in balance in general? What about elasticity? How do you help your patients and students with healthy hormones? How do you regulate your cycle coming off of birth control pills? How do you deal with hot flashes postmenopausally, and also premenopausally? Basically, how do you deal with stubborn hot flashes? What are normal changes that happen with our hormones between our 30s and our 70s or 80s? What about our 20s? What do we do about heavy, painful periods? How does eating raw foods affect sleep rhythms? Or does it? How long is it safe to be on bioidentical hormones? Am I seeing a lot of melasma, which is a brown color that you see on the cheeks or the forehead or the nose, often with women who are taking birth control pills or hormone replacement therapy, sometimes with pregnant women? And can it be corrected with hormonal balancing? What about cholesterol? Is there a way to boost your own meager supply of estrogen without supplements? What do you do about ovarian cysts and breast health? What about fibrocystic changes in the breasts? How does promote breast health? Iron. How do you get good iron? And what about PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome? Should you replenish diminishing hormones? What about the connection between soy and estrogen? How do you deal with lack of cycles, libido? What about vaginal dryness? What about cyclical headaches, hormonal headaches, even after menopause? What about the relationship between birth control pills and the increase in C-reactive protein and bone density? What about really specific things like before my cycle, my gums swell? Before my cycle, my heart has fluctuations. I have PMS that lasts all month, and postpartum depression after miscarriage and abortion. So again, this is a really extensive list of questions, and clearly we're not going to be able to go into these in detail and answer many specific questions. But again, I'll say that a lot of these seemingly disparate issues are connected to a very small handful of root issues, which I will talk about in this hour. And at the end of the hour, I would like to address some of the questions specifically. So I will read verbatim some of those questions and answer them verbatim. But what comes to mind in terms of all these questions is this wonderful Chinese aphorism that states that the new practitioner has 100 different treatments for each patient who walks in the door, and the experienced practitioner has one treatment for 100 patients who walk in the door. And I have found over time that that is a very true statement. There's a lot of truth behind that aphorism, because when we're a new practitioner, we think endometriosis is so different from fibroids, and that hot flashes are so different from endometriosis and from irregular periods. And later, as we learn about hormones and how they work in the body and what the root causes of these problems are, we realize that all these categories all these issues fall in about four different categories, and I'll talk about that a little later in the call. But I want to give you a chance to speak, Kate, so I'll leave it at that as the summary of the questions.
Yeah, and it was interesting, too, reading through all the questions, and I actually kind of experienced some overwhelm. like, oh, my gosh, there's so much that can go wrong, and it doesn't, some of them start off early with, questions more around, like, the beginning of the cycle, and some of them go into fertility and then go into, post-fertility issues and then post-fertility issues. And I was like, wow, it's just interesting to see how all of it seems so separate. And yet, from your book and from talking to you and understanding, Ayurveda, it's like there's got to be a way of seeing the interconnected relationship. And so I'd love to hear from that perspective of, like, what is the problem that connects it all? Like, what's the problem that connects all our current health problems as women, no matter where we are in our stages of life?
It's an excellent question. And, again, I think there's four. I'm sort of making this up, but there's four problems. But before we get into what these root issues are, I want to address something that Kate and I have talked about previously, where there's a tendency to think, I have this problem. It's very personal to me. And of course it is, because each of us are at the center of our own universe and the center of our own experience. So of course our problems are personal to us, and of course they're individual. But what's also important to keep in mind, I think, is that our individual problems are a reflection of our collective problems in the world right now. And this is an important consideration in Eastern medicine, is this consideration of the microcosm being a reflection of the macrocosm, and the macrocosm being a reflection of the microcosm. What happens in me happens in the world, and what happens in the world happens in me. And when I look at the state of the world and what that means for us individually, and what our individual choices and health habits and health patterns are saying about the world around us, I like to look at the media these days and see, okay, what are the big stories? What are the big issues? And I've picked three stories that I'd like to share with us just a little bit. These are two stories that are really big deals. And one that's lighthearted, that I think shines a humorous, light on an issue that's very serious. So the first article that I've been really impressed by this summer is Why Women Still Can't Have It All by Anne Marie Slaughter, who was the first woman director of policy planning at the State Department. So sort of a foreign policy dream job, big deal. And she retired from that recently. She decided to leave that and go back and just be a full-time professor and the mother of some young boys. And her article is in the July-August 2012 Atlantic magazine. But she really lays out the problem. Okay, so again, the title of that is Why Women Still Can't Have It All. So she's saying, earlier in the 60s, I forget when she's saying at one point we didn't have it all, and we saw, oh, we could have it all. We could have, and all seems to be, this is just something I noticed throughout that article, all seems to be family and career. And, she says, you really can't. In today's world, you really can't have it all, because you can't be a devoted mother and spend 70 hours, 60 hours, even 50 hours completely devoted to your work. Things start falling apart in one or the other. And she suggests being really honest with our employers and our employees and saying, I gotta take off and take my kid to home and pick him up and whatever. And and make our devotion to our family and our the importance we lay on our family and hold in our family, make that more clear and more honest and above board in our workplace. And so she suggests ways to do that with technology, working from home some and so forth, and changing our social structure. And I think these are really good points. And I think maybe I want to add something to that conversation, which is family and career development, is that really all? Isn't there also spiritual and self-development and fulfillment? And is our career really giving us that spiritual self-fulfillment? And what is driving us to that kind of success? What is behind our ambition and our drive? With that, I want to say, I want to bring in a conversation that I had recently with my niece, one of my nieces, Josie, who she's a 19-year-old, and she's about to be a sophomore in university. And in talking with her about what was important to her in her life, she said, "I just want a big garden." And I see young people who are interested in a simple way of life these days, who may be feeling some pressure from other adults in their life to go and succeed in a high-powered career or aspire to a high-powered career. And what I want to suggest is that times have changed a lot since many of us were in our 20s and certainly in our teens. And what is successful now maybe may look very different from what we thought of as success then. And maybe success is just simply very different from what we've thought of as success. Maybe it's simpler. Simple doesn't always mean easy. Simple can be hard. But I think that having a simple life is one of the loftiest goals we can have. And so I want to say that, you know, perhaps having it all maybe means taking some things off our plate and having less and having more happiness and more fulfillment in less. So that's one article I wanted to address. The lighthearted one is kind of in line with what I'm talking about by Kim Kreider of the New York Times. This is from June 30th, 2012, The Busy Trap. And I just want to read the beginning of his article because it's just lovely. It's such an accurate description of what we see around us, I think. He says, "If you live in America in the 21st century, you've probably had to listen to a lot of people tell you how busy they are. It's become the default response when you ask anyone how they're doing. Busy, so busy, crazy busy. It is pretty obviously a boast disguised as a complaint. And the stock response is a kind of congratulation. That's a good problem to have, or better than the opposite." And he says, "It's not as if any of us wants to live like this. It's something we've collectively forced one another to do." And I think that Tim is right on the money here. I am blown away by how rarely I can speak to my relatives and my close friends because they're too busy. Forget about acquaintances or making new friends or new acquaintances or having real connections with people. So many of us are running around with this crazy busy kind of mentality. And we're becoming people that we're not. We're becoming, as Tim calls it, driven, cranky, anxious, and sad people. When that's really not who we are. We're not that, but we've become that because of our collective choice in this country. And I do think some of this is choice. And it's very easy to think, oh, I can't do that. That's not for me. Other people can make other choices, but I'm stuck in these choices that I've made for myself. And I'm not sure that that's true. And we may revisit that later in the conversation today. But Tim ends his piece saying, "I did make a conscious decision a long time ago to choose time over money." And I like that. And I think it's a good idea. And he says, you know, idleness is not just a vacation, an indulgence, or an advice. It's as indispensable to the brain as vitamin D is to the body. And he says, and deprived of it, we suffer a mental affliction as disfiguring as rickets. And I would say that mental affliction that we have collectively signed on for because of an excessively driven, ambitious, busy life and choices, that is at the root of hormonal imbalance. There are other things that are at the root of other problems like endometriosis or fibroids or things that reflect stagnation, but things that reflect hormonal imbalance, the root of it is this mental affliction that we have, that we're overdriven and that we're outspending our emotional, physical, financial, spiritual resources for what? For an idea of success whose time perhaps has come and gone and is no longer applicable. And I think it's time for some of us to really wake up to that if that's the case in our lives. And then the third article, the last article I want to bring into to this conversation is by Bill McKibben in the August 2nd, 2012 issue of Rolling Stone. And he talks about, and the article is Global Warming's Terrifying New Math. And in this, he talks about how in June we broke or tied 3,215 high temperature records in the United States. And he says that followed the warmest May on record for the Northern Hemisphere, the 327th consecutive month in which the temperature of the entire globe exceeded the 20th century average. The odds of this occurring by chance are 3.7 times 10 to the 99, a number considerably larger than the number of stars in the universe. So it doesn't seem likely that it's by chance that our world is heating up. And this heating up, speeding up of our lives, of the planet, these are, in Chinese medicine, we call them yang qualities. In Ayurveda, we call them lungana qualities or apatarpana qualities. They're these qualities that represent drive, movement, heating, ambition, striving, moving. And on the other hand, we have yin qualities, or in Ayurveda we call them brahmana or santarpana qualities, the qualities that are cool and moist and nourishing and dense. And when we have too much lungana, too much yang qualities, too much striving and ambition and drive and drying and heating qualities in our lives, then that happens to our bodies. And the hormones in our bodies that represent those qualities are the stress hormones. They're what drive us. They're what motivate us. They dry us out. They stimulate us. And women's sex hormones, progesterone and estrogen, for the most part, what they're trying to do is nourish the body, build the body, provide grounding. And when these two groups of hormones, stress and sex hormones, are out of balance, then we get problems in the body. So that's a big problem. And so why do we keep the main theme behind this imbalance of yin and yang, this imbalance of brahmana and lungana, the main issue tends to be that we are overdriving in our lives. And so what's the main problem? Why is that happening? It's because of all the hidden cameras, of course. Hidden cameras. What I mean by this is it's not necessarily what our society is expecting of us that makes us live the life and make the choices we're making. It's not necessarily our husbands or our wives or our partners or our colleagues or our bosses or our employees or our children. It's us. We're setting up cameras around the house. We're setting up the little hidden camera. We feel like we're constantly being watched. And if we're not productive and on task at every moment of the day, that something is wrong with us and that we're being watched. So we don't lie on the couch and do nothing for a little while. We don't go out and sit by the pond for a little while and do nothing because we feel we're being watched. And if indeed we're being watched, we need to look productive. So those hidden cameras are the main problem, and we need to understand these problems before we can fix them. So number one, hidden cameras driving us to lead our hormones to imbalance, driving us to imbalance yin and yang, brahmana, lungana, stress hormones, sex hormones. This, the basic thing with this is if our stress hormones levels are high, which they are if we're stressed out, if they are high, the bottom line is we simply cannot have hormonal balance. We won't have it. That's it. And when we don't have hormonal balance, that leads to irregular periods, hormonal issues, thyroid issues, adrenal issues, postpartum depression, mood swings, hot flashes, infertility due to irregular periods or not ovulating, lack of periods, fatigue, weight issues, whether you're overweight or underweight. It can lead to endocrine disorders and possibly autoimmune disorders. So all of these things are because often we're pushing ourselves beyond our natural resources, what we take in from good relationship, good food, good sleep, good spiritual nourishment. If we are outspending our physical, spiritual, emotional, financial resources, we are getting into this problem. So we've really got to look at our choices. And in this way, hormones really become a moral issue. So that's one issue, is outspending our resources. The second issue underlies things like heavy and painful periods, fibroids, endometriosis, infertility due to stagnation or blockage or obesity. Stagnation is this number two thing, and stagnation has a really easy fix. Castor oil packs are really good with this, but there's some important things to know about them. I don't have time in this call to go through how to do castor oil packs and what timing is good for you particularly, but you can read about that in the appendix of my book, Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Life. And I warn you, we're going to talk about an upcoming women's health course that Kate and I are putting together later in the conversation. And in that course, we'll be able to talk more about how to address that and how to use castor oil packs. But castor oil packs, along with blood moving herbs are a common category of herbs in Chinese medicine. It's pretty easy these days to find a really qualified Chinese medicine practitioner in the United States. They're a really good choice. If you've got fibroids or endometriosis or painful periods, go and ask for blood moving herbs. Do that with castor oil packs, and that takes care of all of those things. Now, all of those things, even though they have their differences, there's certainly differences between endometriosis and fibroids and heavy painful periods, they all have the same root cause, and actually treating them all in a very similar way helps tremendously. Of course, if you work with someone one-on-one, you're going to be able to get the nuances and maybe why you ended up having stagnation in your uterus or in your breasts and why that happens. Castor oil packs are good for the uterine kind of issues. There's other issues for breast health that are really good that we'll talk about in the course, and you can also read about in chapter 13 of my book in breast health. So, to recap those two, if we're outspending our resources, physical, emotional, et cetera, and overdriving, then our hormones become imbalanced. That's a cause. Stagnation is a cause of a lot of these issues that you wrote in about. Synthetic hormone use is a cause of issues. And gratefully, that is a simple thing to correct. You work with someone to get off them. Even if you have to get on to bioidentical hormones for a little while, I still wouldn't like to use bioidentical hormones forever, but using them as a stopgap measure is a good idea sometimes. So working with someone to get off synthetic hormones is my recommendation. I could be wrong, but I studied this stuff a lot, and it's the one thing I'm not against Western medicine at all. I love Western medicine. There are definitely times and places for many medications. However, I think that there are alternatives to synthetic hormone use in almost every case. And if you talk with someone who, a nurse practitioner or someone who's well versed in, the use of bioidentical hormones, you can pretty easily, switch to those, at least for a while you're getting together some herbal remedies and lifestyle and diet changes and alternative nostril breathing, the other thing we'll talk about later that you can do to get things, on track. Good idea to get off them. And then the fourth thing is processed food. Basically, we got to cut it out. It's not as important to have a absolutely vata reducing or pitta reducing or kapha reducing diet if you're familiar with what those are. That's not the first step. The first step is get off of processed food. Eat mostly whole, freshly cooked foods. If you're not sure what that is and what that's about, read through part three of Balance Your Hormones, Balance Your Life. It's in there. It'll get you started in the right direction. So those are the four things underlying what I can be pretty sure is at the under, it's one of those things underlying any one of your complaints that I read, any one of your questions that I read, those are the things that are underlying them. So I've talked to Blue Streak here, Kate, and I'll turn it over to you to head this in the right direction.
I'm taking these beautiful notes. I've got these different pieces of paper going, and I'm like, I got to take pictures of these notes and put them on the call online. It really struck me when you were talking about the hidden cameras. Like, one of the things that really came to me is that there's not much in the way of like good mentoring around this, or examples being set, or community around even how to navigate what living in a way that's not outspending our resources even looks like or feels like. And it just really struck me of like, well, how did we get to this place of not really understanding that our hormonal issues, no matter what cycle or stage of life that we're in, are tied to a fundamental relationship to life that's basically unsustainable and not tied into the life force itself. Like not akin, not aligned, not attuned, not in a open-ended, curious relationship with how the life force itself works. And it just really struck me that that really is a connecting factor in all of these. And I think in being able to drop into that personally, and I just invite everyone who's listening to really drop into that. Like, how are you currently outspending your resources? Like, do you know what that is and what that feels like in your own body? That sense of outspending, that sense of compromising your integrity, compromising your, what you know in your body to be true. At the expense of doing something else or taking something else on or getting something else done, for another motive. So I just really wanted to bring that up. And I also wanted to bring up, synthetic hormone use. Often when I hear that, I just think of hormone replacement therapy, HRT. I often don't think of like birth control or fertility drugs or all that. But the more that I've read your book and I've read The Pill, Are You Sure It's For You, on your recommendation, I'm saying, oh, no. Synthetic hormone use, that's also in that whole category of use. And the more I've been reading about that just from your recommendation and talking to my clients, I noticed that there is these huge patterns of women who really start synthetic hormones, around puberty or post-puberty, like just, around the late teen years, mid-teen years, early 20s, and stay on it for a decade plus before they really cognize that they're synthetically, influencing their rhythm.
It's true. We're lifelong consumers. We start sometimes as early as 11 years old or 12 years old, and not necessarily for birth control, but we're prescribed them for clearing up our skin, or sometimes to regulate the period, and then for using them for birth control. And it's interesting, in the book I have, I forget the gentleman's name, but there's someone who's at the top of one of the assisted reproductive technology organizations or something in the U.S. And he said, we're well aware of who our clientele are. These are, women who are having a hard time getting pregnant. He says, we're well aware of who our clientele are. They're women who have been on birth control pills for a long time. So, why? Maybe because they hamper the natural rhythms that we have, and so when we get off them, it's harder for our natural rhythms to kick in. There's a number of reasons why that is, but suffice to say, we're lifelong consumers from birth control, and then trying to get pregnant, and then after our childbearing years are over, then for a long time we were told that it was essential for us to take hormone replacement therapy. And, for a long time it was said that it was as essential to take hormone replacement therapy as it is for a diabetic to take insulin. So that is changing because of the Women's Health Initiative study that came out in 2002. It actually didn't come out. They had to stop the study because they found that hormone replacement therapy was what the risks outweighed the benefits. And so they actually had to stop the study. And at that point, women were told, oh, you don't have to be on this as much. You know, so, but it's true. You're right. So, synthetic hormone use runs the gamut from birth control pills to fertility use to hormone replacement therapy post-menopause. Sorry to interrupt you there, Kate.
No, I mean, that just really struck me. Like, they had to stop the study, even though it's like, how many people know people that are still on these drugs? You know, just that sense of the harm, you know, that comes in. And I sense just as a, you know, from a consumer perspective, I remember when I was, you know, first, instructed, you know, by an elder to go on the pill, that there really wasn't this full disclosure of information. And I sense in that, you know, as I sense in like the list of concerns that you, or the questions, the big questions, the big burning questions we asked about earlier, this sense that there's so much information now, and it's so divvied up and it's so particular that we've lost this thread of understanding the larger connection, this whole thing about spending our resources. And we've lost a way of understanding the, you know, from the general, seeing from a more general place of understanding the stress hormones and sex hormones into the particular nature of the imbalance. And in that, what I notice is like, if I feel like, oh, this problem's only mine and it's hard to deal with and my life is somewhat overwhelming and too busy and crazy busy as it is, it's like, it becomes harder to navigate the path to the solution. And I'm just wondering, as well, tying that into what you said about like the beginning practitioner has like, you know, has a hundred different like tools that they're trying to use. And like the experienced practitioner has like, you know, one or two main tools they know actually work for the nature of the imbalance. You know, just that sense of where people that are listening on the call and are realizing that they are currently in a pattern of living out of a deeper integrity in their life as far as integrity with their own body, with their own biochemistry, with their own hormones. Where do we go? It's like, where do we go from here? And what have you seen in the women that you've been treating?
Good question. And a couple of things come to mind here. One is, you were talking about how confusing, I forget how you put it, but how confusing it is to look at all this information and find good information. And we have no lack of information. We have Google, you know, guru Google, right? We have no lack of information. We've got the internet. We've got everybody with their ideas and so forth. And we've got studies and studies are often, but we can't trust the studies because they're often developed by the people who would benefit from a certain outcome. And, you know, we're going crazy here. And, there's a way we can make sense of it. And it's to listen to our own, intelligence and our own awareness inside in our own bodies. And this is something I remember, I think I wrote this in the book somewhere too, but when decades ago, I was teaching a group of massage therapy students a little bit about fundamental Ayurvedic principles, and that we were talking about food, and I said carrots are slightly heating, cilantro is cooling, this is the, and one student interrupted me and she said, you know, it seems like Ayurveda has to analyze every little thing. I don't know if I like Ayurveda. And I can't remember what I said to her, but I drove away and I was thinking, oh my God, oh my gosh, she's right. What am I teaching these students? It's like spontaneity sucking soul drudgery. And then this little voice, for lack of a better word for it, came into my head. Awareness. It's not analyzing. It's choosing to live life with awareness. And when we listen to our own bodies, then we get the information. Then we can make sense of all the information. So if we take a pill, we listen inside and feel, does that feel right? Is that good? When we eat an avocado, how does that make us feel? And we make a choice to live life with awareness. We make a choice to learn how things are likely to affect us, to look inside and see, do they in fact that affect us that way, and make our decisions accordingly, you know? So, with that in mind, something else that you said, I just want to address, you said, even though that study for hormone replacement therapy was halted, we all know women who are still on it. And I'd like to point to look at that for a second and say there are very real benefits that many women are getting from them. They do make their skin softer. They do help with hot flashes. They do help with mood swings. It's not that they're all bad. They do have those really worthwhile benefits, but they come at a cost. And to me, the cost is not worth the benefits. They're short-term benefits, and the costs outweigh them. Maybe they wouldn't if there was no other choice, but there are other choices. There are bioidentical hormones if you need that for a stopgap measure. But addressing these things, the solution is learning to live with awareness, learning to live in integrity with our, reducing stress in our lives. So all these lifestyle issues, doing a little yoga, getting the right amount of exercise, not too little, not too much. Not too much is important. We don't all have to all be Jane Fonda, right? It doesn't have to, we don't have to make it burn, jump around. We just have to move, right? And move prana in our bodies. Diet, whole foods, whole freshly cooked foods. If all of those things aren't enough, there's wonderful herbal remedies. And of course, we can't talk about them all in this hour, but there are wonderful herbal remedies, and maybe we'll get to some of them later. If all that doesn't work, and heck, why not start out with this? You can do Abhyanga, which is a warm self-oil massage. There's an appendix in my book on warm oil massage, in the same way that there's an appendix on castor oil packs, which are good for stagnation. But this warm oil massage is good for calming the nervous system, which tends to help break a cycle where stress hormones are constantly being thrown up into our systems. That doesn't sound very good. But it isn't very good. When stress hormones are constantly irrigating our system, their systems, they're constantly irrigating our important glands and organs and affecting our awareness. So anything we can do to break that cycle is great. And Abhyanga, the warm oil self massage, helps us break that cycle. And perhaps the most powerful solution I know, if you're doing all of that and it's not working, 15 minutes of slow, gentle, alternate nostril breathing a day. We'll talk about this in the course when you talk about the course, but slow, gentle, alternate nostril breathing a day. This, the left nostril corresponds to the yin aspects of the body or the brahmana, and the left and the right nostril to the yang, to the lungana aspects of our body. And so working with balancing those two is what's going on with alternate nostril breathing. So this stuff really does work. I think you asked if I've seen it work with patients. Did you ask that, Kate?
Yeah. I would just love to hear, what you've seen. Cause I think for a lot of women, we're so used to information that's really particular and not at all to information that's more as general, like this. It's like our fundamental relationship to life is somewhat off here. And so, yeah, I'd love to hear how you've seen that in, both in your workshops and also working in, one-on-one with clients or however you want to, tell those stories.
I love that, Peyton. And it's like, we really want bullet points. Like, how can I change my hormonal balance? Give me the bullet points. And after I wrote the book, the publisher was doing publicity, these magazines and online forums and so forth, saying, give us a list of XYZ, how to balance your hormones. What about the bullet points? And I would say, well, change your life. Can that be a bullet point?
Come on, why not?
Change your life is not a bullet point. It's an endeavor. And it is the bullet point, and that's what we don't want to hear. We want to hear, oh, if I take black cohosh, everything will be fine. Oh, if I just get enough phytoestrogens in my body, take enough soy, then either A, everything will be fine, or B, depending on what you believe about soy, everything will go to heck in a handbasket, right? So we like these bullet points, but we need to make life changes. We need to make lifestyle changes and dietary changes. And you know what you have to do in order to change your life? You have to change it. So But it works. So, and it's, again, it's not complicated. It's simple, but it's hard to make those changes. So what we need to make those changes is we need inspiration, I think. And for me and for many, many of my patients that I've seen over the years and students, what is most, inspirational to make change is education. If we really understand why high stress hormones in our body creates a situation where we simply can't have hormonal balance, if we really understand why that's a precursor to women's type heart disease, to osteoporosis, to kinds of cancers, to autoimmune disorders, and why it's a given if there's irregular cycles or mood swings or hot flashes or anxiety, if we really understand those, then we're motivated to make different choices in our lives. And as we're making those changes, taking some herbal remedies, these are things that work. So, I want to give two examples. One example of, a woman, she's a yoga teacher, and I could actually pull up about four or five of these who had made the lifestyle changes. They were eating whole foods. They were eating foods according to their constitution and their current condition. They had made those dietary choices. They were yoga teachers and they weren't doing, crazy insane amounts of yoga. It was an appropriate yoga, routine and they were doing herbal remedies and they were still having hot flashes. And so we added Abhyanga into their routine. This is, I'm thinking of a specific woman, but actually there's four or five that I can think of that are in this yoga teacher category and had this happen. But I'm thinking of one particular. Anyway, so she goes through the lifestyle changes, the dietary changes. She does the herbs. That works for a while. That stops working when she gets in the thick of menopause. She starts doing Abhyanga. That calms the nervous system down, which ends up helping to break this stress cycle. So that takes care of it for a while. And then she's totally in the thick of it and going through a divorce and trying to keep her yoga studio afloat in the economic hard times and so forth. And, right, because yoga is simple, but it's also hard, right? So she starts needing something else and not wanting to turn to hormonal replacement therapy or bioidentical hormones. And there's issues with bioidentical hormones, by the way, which we'll get into in the course. But, so she starts doing gentle, slow, alternate nostril breathing 15 minutes a day. And from that point, for the next bunch of years that this was an issue for her, the days that she would do the alternate nostril breathing, she didn't have hot flashes and her mood swings were not an issue. And the days that she didn't, they were. So that's the good news and the bad news. The good news is there's something that works without any bad side effects. That's the good news. The bad news is it's going to take you 15 minutes a day. And there's, you know, there's full thing along with herbal remedies. There's simple things like if you have vaginal dryness, there's one really simple thing you can do, which is get Shatavari ghee. You can get that at the Ayurvedic Institute in New Mexico, which is ayurveda.com, and use that as a topical lubricant. But you got to be careful if you're using condoms because it can break through that. But maybe you don't. Anyway. Well, it's another topic. So, so I wanted to bring in her story. I also want to maybe, let you know about an endometriosis patient. And I've treated endometriosis and uterine fibroids a lot, and I treat them in very similar ways. And there's tremendously good results with the use of castor oil packs and herbal and blood moving herbs, which you can get from a Chinese medical practitioner. There are some Ayurvedic herbs too, but it's harder to find a qualified Ayurvedic practitioner who knows, who's really comfortable and confident with those herbs. So, I think for things like heavy periods and uterine fibroids and endometriosis, seeing a qualified Chinese practitioner is really good because you can get the blood moving herbs. And you can do castor oil packs. And that's, in fact, what I had, this one woman with endometriosis do. She had horrendous endometriosis and her doctor said after 3 months, it was somewhere between 2 and 4 months. But I think it was three. After about 3 months of taking blood moving herbs and doing castor oil packs, her doctor said, she, what are you doing? This is amazing. This is a miraculous cure. There's almost no more endometrial tissue in places where it was choking the organs in her lower abdomen. So, and that was after just 3 months, and that was a horrendous case of endometriosis. So working with changing your life and slowing down and so forth, these are things that really get to the root of hormonal imbalance. Blood moving herbs and castor oil packs really get to the root of stagnation, and those are easy things to do. So I'm going to turn this over to you for a bit, Kate.
Yeah.
Your voice.
Yeah, that was great. And it's great to hear these stories because I think everybody knows somebody with each of those issues. And just to know that sometimes the solutions, you know, they're specific, and they're general at the same time. And it's like, there's this real sense of like, oh, okay, there's something that has to change. And the whole idea of, you know, taking an herb or taking a pill and making it all better is really missing the boat of that where we kind of got into the situation in the first place from not listening to our own intelligence and not really being taught, and encouraged and coached and guided into how to listen to our own bodies. And that brings us to the offer here that Dr. Claudia and I have decided to create, this 6-week course, which will be both live and online and recorded for future purchase, and it's going to be this Healthier Hormones live course. And it's going to start at August 20th and run through September 24th. It'll be on Mondays from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be a 6-week deep exploration of our physiology and of our next health. And I would even say, you know, awareness breakthrough. And the idea during the course is that we're actually each going to take these 5 commitments. We're going to take these 5 daily commitments that we actually do make the change in our everyday life that Dr. Claudia's found that these are like the nuts and bolts, commitments that make the biggest difference no matter what stage of life we're in, no matter what part of the cycle that we're in, that this is what helps balance women's hormones and create a deeper relationship with, you know, our own innate nature and our deeper balance. All of the sessions, of course, will be recorded and they'll be available within 24 hours. I like to use an audio format as opposed to a video format because I know as women, we don't often like to sit and watch screens, and we might have to spend time in the car or like to take a morning walk. In this way, you can listen and re-listen to the calls to help create that community in your own experience of aligning to a deeper internal integrity. And as part of the course too, and the course will cost $149, we wanted to make it very affordable for these 6 sessions, which will be, you know, information that inspires you to really deeply align and to also help other women align. I know, like I said, from the poll that we took that we, you know, that over half of you are yoga teachers and that quite a considerable number outside of that are working in women's healthcare, and that your choices and how you live in your own integrity is affecting a community. And knowing that, we want to, you know, we really want to make this information as affordable and easy to live and easy to spread worldwide so that women start to get the mentorship, and our elders get it, and the younger generation gets the mentorship that's needed to actually live in integrity, to stop the cycle of outspending our resources or living according to, you know, I love what you said about how we're like living according to like a different value structure that was for a different time. And I really sense that, you know, in teaching courses, and I know you've taught a lot of courses and led workshops, and what we both notice is that when we connect, when we come together as a community and connect around our commitments together, and this connection around our health evolution, both personally, but also planetarily, that there's a sense of energy that like, I'm not the only one. And I really understand why we're doing this. And it's not easy, but it's right. That there's a sense of almost being carried in a field of support. And that's really what we're creating through the Healthier Hormones course. And we will have a Facebook page. For those of you who took my last course, the Eat Green Challenge, we found the Facebook fan page, a private community online. a place for you all to connect and us to connect with the conversation as it's unfolding through the course with you. We'll also be using, we'll also be using surveys and asking questions and making sure that no matter how many women are in the course, that we're really able to attune to the pulse of where everybody is at. So that's a brief overview of what the course is. And like I said, it'll be recorded. You don't have to be able to make every call. If you do make the calls, there'll be, opportunities for interaction, live interaction, of course, on those calls. And if you're doing it as a recorded course, then there will be, you'll be community through the Facebook fan page. And you'll notice that, what I notice when women ask questions is it's like, if it doesn't apply to my own body, it applies to like five of my friends or clients or yoga students. And I'm like, oh yeah, I really need to understand why the body goes out of balance in that particular way. And it's like everything becomes relevant the more we understand the bigger picture and how it goes from general to really to the specifics of the individual. So I just want to mention some of the benefits of the course, why we've created the course the way we did, and what we are, what we're basically saying is what you're going to get out of it. And the biggest thing I think for me is to understand what the heck is going on here, understand from this place of connectivity the hormonal trends in a woman's body through all the stages of life. So that, I mean, I know for myself particular, so I stop looking at things as really, really more specific and start to see the larger trends through all of the stages. So by the time you move to the end of the course, you'll have that understanding. And if you don't really get it, you can re-listen to the audios until it does sink in, because sometimes information takes time to become really digested in the cellular structure of our bodies. We'll also learn how hormonal balance reflects our ethics and how living in integrity supports hormonal balance. Just that sense of like, if you're out spending your resources, you know, if you're living in an asynchronized pattern with life force itself, and learning how to recover that integrity isn't always as simple as just knowing that lack of integrity exists. So we'll really learn this connection between our ethics and our integrity and our hormones and our choices. We'll also be generating the skills, the life skills to maintain hormonal balance. And a lot of that will come through these five commitments that we're going to take during the course. We'll learn how to restore hormonal balance when there's an irregularity with menstruation, when there's infertility. We'll learn about thyroid and adrenal issues. We'll learn the causes of deep fatigue. We'll learn about autoimmune disorders. We'll learn how to read our moods and understand our moods and what they're conveying to us, really get into the information that our moods are conveying. And we'll learn about hot flashes and other menopausal disorders. We'll learn about stagnation, like Dr. Claudia mentioned before, painful periods, endometriosis, fibrocystic breast or congested breast tissue. Excuse me. And we'll learn how to really resolve the stagnation related to the symptoms, and we'll learn how to troubleshoot so that we don't necessarily need to know all the answers, but we need to know how to read into the next question and how to address some of the problems that we're finding. So what we're hoping is that we're helping women, both you as, individuals, but also knowing that you're connected to communities of women. We want to help really all women navigate this journey more skillfully, this journey of like moving into what's potentially going to be a more stressful time for humanity ahead, but navigate that in a way that we're actually living in a deeper synchronicity with our own physiology. So that's our idea. We're creating community around our next health evolution in our woman, my new word, womanity. So that's really the opportunity of the course. And, where do you want to go next, Dr. Claudia? Do you want to answer one or two of the questions that people have written in?
How are we on time, Kate?
We are, we're about an hour in, so we could also just simply close it and say we're going to get into the depths of those questions on the course.
Yeah, let me just end maybe with one idea here. It's so easy to listen to something like this and say, okay, you know, like even in Anne Marie Slaughter's, I'll go back to that Anne Marie Slaughter article where she says what she hears is it's all fine and well for a tenured professor to write about flexible working hours, investment intervals, and family comes first kind of stuff. But what about the real world? And mm-hmm. and it's interesting. I get that a lot. Like, well, so-and-so could slow down because she has a supportive partner, and so-and-so can slow down because she doesn't have kids, and so-and-so can slow down because she has money. If you're saying someone else can do it, but I can't do it because of X, Y, Z, I don't have enough money, I don't have a supportive partner, I have kids, blah, 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 I'd really invite us all to look at the possibility that that is false, that there is a way to slow down, there is a way to start living the life you really are here to be living. And I'd like to end maybe with the words from Bronnie Ware, an Australian blogger who wrote the top five regrets of the dying. And the regret she heard most often was, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. The second most common regret was, I wish I didn't work so hard. So we need to give ourselves permission to turn the hidden cameras off and live the lives we are here to live. So thank you all for being here, and thank you, Kate, so much for facilitating this.
Yeah, yeah, my pleasure. And I just invite everyone who's listening to really to sink into that and find out, like, what are the opportunities to live in a deeper integrity today? And just let that, you know, I think as we all step into this together, we really create a new culture and we create a different future for what's coming. So for those who are interested, we're going to be releasing this call. You can share this call with your friends. We really want as many women to hear it as possible. And we'll be sending out some information on the course and how to sign up and giving you some more information about it. So thank you all for your attention. And I invite you deeper to listening to your own body's intelligence. Thank you.